This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, January 30th. Well, we're about to wrap up the month, and we do have some upward momentum occurring in the grain space with all the grains higher last week. Wheat leading the way. Front month, Kansas City up 21, Minneapolis up 9, Chicago was up 8, corn up 7, soybeans were up just 3. So we're looking at, I think, a market, a grain space in general that is working pretty well into its seasonal pattern, especially the wheat, which tends to stall out in early February. I kind of thought that maybe Thursday or so the market had run out of gas and probably was going to stall out a little early, but that doesn't appear to be the case. The night session is up fairly strong. We're up about 10 in wheat coming into the break, and as right before the break, the market started to sell off. It lost about 8 or 9 cents. So we're only up about 3 cents coming into the break on Chicago. Kansas City is only up 4. And corn too, and soybeans for that matter. They were all coming into some selling pressure right before the morning break. Not sure what that was about, but we'll see what happens when it reopens. But there definitely is some momentum coming over from last week into this week. Now, China is back in the market this week. There's a great deal of anticipation that we're going to see a surge of buying interest from them now that they're done with their Lunar New Year holiday. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We saw quite a bit of business from them before the holiday break, and my guess is that they were just kind of kept, you know, buying in advance, knowing that they'd be gone last week. But whatever, we'll see how that all materializes. What we do know is that weather conditions are improving significantly in key areas. Argentina, over the last 2 weeks, they've had a great deal of rain come across key areas. More rain is in the forecast in the short term over the next few days. And then it looks like they get a stretch of about 10 days of dryness. We don't see any intense heat coming into that region. So I think they'll be fine. They should have plenty of topsoil moisture to get this crop going and get it off to a pretty decent start. In Brazil, the soybean harvest is ongoing. We're still in the early stages, but it's going to pick up steam here. And all indications from the early yield reports suggest that yields are at least as good, if not better, than what was estimated, and that production will be on track for a record year. So we expect to see a lot of Brazilian soybeans hitting the pipeline in the next week or two. And for sure, China is going to focus on Brazilian soybeans for their imports. They already have been, for that matter. So I just don't see where the U.S. is going to capture more business in the short term. Maybe this week if China comes back and needs to get caught up on purchases. But by and large, they are going to focus on Brazilian soybeans over the next few months. In corn, our exports have been horrible. We're running almost just half of what we were a year ago. China has been notably absent. There's a threat that Mexico wants to move away from U.S. GMO corn. That has been pushed to the back burner for a year, but it's still in the conversation. And we're seeing ethanol usage drop off a bit. So my guess is that we're going to start to see a slowdown in the grind for ethanol unless we see a sudden surge in gasoline consumption, which does not appear to be around the corner. A lot of chatter about a U.S. recession, which of course likely would mean a drop in demand for energy, especially diesel and gasoline. So those are some of the headwinds in the corn space. And real quickly, getting back to weather, we were talking about the better rain conditions in Argentina. We're also seeing signs of that across the U.S. Southern Plains. The one dry, ultra-dry area that really had not seen much relief from the drought was southwest Kansas, straight on south through Texas, and pretty much the western half of Texas. In the 8 to 15-day forecast, they are calling for much above normal rain in that western Texas and to stretch across Texas going up into the northeast quarter of Texas and then through the Delta region. So if that materializes, that will be pretty timely. You know, their crop, their winter wheat crop, is going to break dormancy here pretty soon, probably in the next couple weeks. And that will be just ideal timing to get some moisture in the topsoil and get that crop at least going. It's been a rough stretch. It was seeded into dry conditions. It was not well established. In fact, the condition ratings were at a record low coming into dormancy. So we all knew that the crop would need very timely rains if it was going to have a chance at all. And it looks like that might be developing. So keeping that in mind, that would certainly be a bearish aspect to the market. The other bearish aspects, of course, are the record crops coming out of Russia and Australia. Both are major exporters of wheat. Russia, hard red winter wheat. Australia, soft white wheat. And they had a lot of rain on their harvest, so they have a fair amount of feed wheat. And that is making its way into the feed channel into the Asian markets, which is supplanting U.S. corn. So that's important to keep in mind as well, that we are struggling to compete against the feed grain markets. The feed wheat markets. In Russia, the production estimates still have a wide range. USDA is stuck at 91 million tons, which is a huge, way above the previous record. But the private guys in Russia are still at around 100 to 101. It's still a major difference. Now, we're still looking at record exports out of Russia as well. Looks like their January exports are going to be right around 4 million tons, which is a record. That compares to 2 million tons a year ago. So it's just, they're on fire. And the weather has been fairly good. They haven't seen that extreme cold that would freeze over their shallow water ports. So they're still moving a lot of wheat. And the smaller vessels out of the shallow water ports, bigger vessels out of the deeper ports, they've got firing on all pistons when it comes to exports. In Australia, got some disparity in the production estimates there as well. The U.S. attaché to Australia projects their production at a record 37 million tons. It's just slightly above USDA's current 36.6, but the private guys are at 38 to 40 million tons. So that crop appears to be getting bigger as we move along. This is going to be their third record crop in a row. I mean, God bless them. They had three disasters in a row. They had fires, drought, everything you could, bugs, disease, everything you could think of for 3 years. Australia just struggled to get anything produced. And then all of a sudden, the rains start coming. And in fact, last year, there was a lot of flooding across much of the eastern half of Australia. So then, now they again have produced their third record crop in a row. It seems like it's either feast or famine for Australia. Their exports are projected to be a record 28 million tons. That compares to last year's 27.5 and USDA's current estimate of that same amount. So, Australia on track for just monster exports. Same thing with Russia. So that's why I think the wheat market really is limited. You've got these major exporters in the northern and southern hemisphere with record production. They're going to be looking at record exports, and they're having a great deal of success with those exports. And then you've got the U.S. With an increase in winter wheat acres of almost 3.5 million acres. That's our third year in a row of increased acres. And over 2 million of that is in hard red winter wheat. The only thing really kind of, I think, supporting this market is the poor condition of the crop and the threat that we're going to graze a fair amount of it off. But I think calves are going to be expensive. If the wheat crop looks decent at all coming out of dormancy and you've got moisture, my guess is the producers will take it to harvest. Taking a quick look at world FOB offers from last week, we had the U.S. Gulf soft red winter wheat at $327 a ton. That was up 7 on the week. Hard red winter wheat at $385, up 10. Ukraine at $275, up 5. Russia at $305, unchanged. France at $322, up 2. Argentina at $340, down 5. Australia at $265, up 5. Black Sea feed wheat, I think this is important, is at $265. So that's pretty much even with where Australian milling wheat is offered. Now compare that to corn at the Gulf for the U.S., $310 a ton. That's up 5. At the PNW, corn is offered at $350, which is up 25. In Argentina, we're at $305, up 5. Brazil is at $310, which is also up 5. All of those are higher priced than black seed feed wheat. So we can see why wheat is being pulled into the feed channel much more aggressively than we expected in the Central Plains here in the United States and also around the world. It's just cheaper than corn. And I think that that is another thing that keeps wheat kind of elevated here. Longer corn holds together, it holds wheat up because you'll just pull that much more into the feed channel. In soybeans at the Gulf, we are at $600. That's up $5 on the week. Argentina is at $610. That's up $10. Brazil is at $580, which is unchanged. Brazil is holding together, but again, they're in the process of cutting a record soybean crop, and that's going to get dumped onto the world pipeline here pretty quickly. So short term, it does look like the grain markets have a little bit more momentum on the upside. For wheat, we usually stall out early February, right around the crop report, which is next Tuesday on the 8th. So we want to be looking for selling signals, chart formations that fail. We'll see what happens today. A year ago, we had already put in a seasonal high. I think it would have been like Friday. So we're, kind of on point for something here. I think we're in a longer-term bear market, so we're kind of prepared for the market to peak early rather than later in these seasonal windows. So we're on point. Again, the market had a pretty good performance through the night session, and then it gave up quite a bit of that right in the last few minutes before it went into the morning break. So something happened here, but of course it's pretty thin trading too. So we're looking for some stalling out. We're getting quickly to those significant swing highs that were put in late December on the Minneapolis and the Kansas City markets. Chicago still has yet to get into its first level of, the next layer of resistance, which is on the front month right around the 775 level. So we're not that far away. So far we're at 762 is today's high. So a couple days we could be there, I think, fairly easily. But again, we'll see what happens with today's price action. We're just looking for sell signals. We want to get on the short side, at least for the near term here, to work our way through mid to late February. If you have any questions, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.